Daf, the final Amud of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. We are now on Lamed Hey, Amud Aleph. Okay. So, as we saw on the bottom of the previous page, it's not exactly established yet whether Rabbi Gamliel's statement is authoritative or are there still people who disagree with it. Okay. So now it says, Kisalik Rabbi Abba Miyami. When Rabbi Abba came back from Miami, it means from the ocean, took a trip on the ocean, okay? Yami, okay? So, Persha. So, he gave the following explanation. He said, Modim Chachomin Rabbi Gamliel Bivrocho Shem Rosh Hashanah Shem Kippurim. This is the opinion that I cited before, namely, he says that our sages are in agreement with Rabbi Gamliel, namely that he's motzi, you know, that he enables the fulfillment of the obligation both for those who know how to daven and also for those who don't know how to daven. When, he says, this is in reference to the brachas, the prayers that we have to say on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Right? The halacha, and he says, as far as halacha is concerned, the cloud of fligay bevrachas the chol hashanah. We have to assume that this means that therefore the machlokes still exists as far as the prayers that we recite the rest of the year. Namely, does a person who knows how to daven find fulfillment through the fact by just listening to the chazan, or is he under an obligation to daven and in order to fulfill his own obligation of davening, right? Regardless of what the chazan is doing,
which
okay?
would lead to the theory about if you can daven, you right. don't have to listen to the shidduch tzibur.
Yeah,
you
but
can talk
as
and
I
go
said,
do anything you want.
Right. Obviously, our sages do not agree with that either. I mean, it's only a theoretical proposition, right? Okay. So he says, "Eini, isn't this so?" The Omar Rabbi Chana Tziporah, didn't Rabbi Chana from Tziporah say, Omar Rabbi Yochan, the name Rabbi Yochan, Halacha ke Rabbi Gamliel, that the Halacha follows Rabbi Gamliel, Bivrocho Shem Rosh Hashanah, Vishel Yom HaKippurim? Isn't this what he said? That the Halacha follows him in the Brochas, and that the prayers that we have to recite are Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Elo Omar Rabbi Nachman Ba Yitzchak, but Rabbi Nachman Ba Yitzchak came along and he said, Man, Baidin, what do you mean? It says Boidim Chachomim, that they are in agreement. You know who it is? He says it's Rabbi Meir. It's what? It says we would say a Daas Yochid. What do I mean by Daas Yochid? It's only the opinion of one particular scholar, one particular sage. The halacha, and as far as the halacha, he says Miklaud of Fligi Rabbonim. But we see that there still is a machlokes among the rabbis as to whether we fulfill or we don't fulfill, right? The Tanya, as we have a statement which says, Brocha Shal Rosh Hashanah V'Shem Kippurim, Shliach Tzibur Motzi HaRabim Yudeichot Nosom Divrei Rabbi Meir. There we have a specific quotation where Rabbi Meir says that when it comes to the prayers, the blessings of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Shliach Tzibur enables everybody, HaRabim, the multitude, right, to fulfill their obligation, and this is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim Maimrim, but the sages say, Keshem Sheshliach Tzibur Chayom, just as the Shliach Tzibur has an obligation to daven for himself, Kach Kol Yochid V'Yochid Chayom. So every single individual has an obligation to daven for himself. Don't rely on somebody else to fulfill this mitzvah, but you have to do the mitzvah yourself of davening. So, the Gemara continues and says, Maishto Hani, what's the difference that we have among these various statements? Ilaymov, if we say, Mishum in the Fishay Karoi, that there are so many psukim that have to be added in the davening of Rosh Hashanah. Omar Rav Chananel, so Rav Chananel said, Omar Rav, in the name of Rav, Kevin Shomar, Visagoso Kosum Laymor, Shuvenu Torah. The minute that a person says, and in your Torah it is written as follows, and it doesn't even have to cite what follows, so he has already fulfilled the obligation. This is a very, very peculiar business, I have to tell you, but I remember, you know...
I don't understand that.
Yeah, okay, so let me explain. I remember that you know, in Eretz Yisrael, I daven to Deres Binyonim. You understand? So one time I davened with a minyan, and I discovered that actually these were, they were davening, they were what we would call Eidot HaMizrach. In other words, you know, Jews who came from Iraq, Iran, or even North Africa, and so on and so forth. Okay? And I took a look at the machzor, I mean, the siddur that I had in Taki, you know, where we say, for example, you know, on Shabbat, right, so on. Or on, let's say, it was called a beit, I remember that time. So, you know, again, you know, you have psukim that say, like on Pesach, you say the ikvah to Misha, okay? We say the psukim. All that it said, they left it out. That's it. Okay? That's it. They don't say Mepichwe, or maybe Pichwetecho, right? But they didn't say Kabur, this and this and this and this. So, obviously, this represents a practice that has survived in some parts of the world, not to actually cite the psukim themselves. Okay? It's not our practice, but there is such a practice. And some say that, in general, this is in the Sfardish Siddurim that you find this. Now, I haven't checked every Sfardish Siddurim. When I say Sfardish, I don't mean what we dub in Nusach Sfard in the, you know, Hasidim.
Yeah.
Because that is really Ashkenazic, but with some modifications, okay? But you know, the Spanish Portuguese or something like that, I'd have to check it sometime. Yeah. Yes. Well, obviously, what was Jewish education? It was always a Torah education to begin with, okay?
Yeah,
so that they studied and they were familiar with it. But on the other hand, still, we had plenty of people who were not Bikim, they didn't know. And Ame Horetz also, you realize that, okay? Mm-hmm. Not everybody was a scholar in old days. And while they tried to rectify it by insisting upon universal education, still, I guess it was possible that at times, you know, the universal education didn't extend too far beyond the learning Aleph Beis and how to say a few basic prayers. You know, tantamount to what you would learn in the average Hebrew school today or something like that.
They also have different
Yeah, well, that's what we understand.
Yeah.
That's already a different story. I'm not talking about piyutim. I'm talking about basic tefillah, okay? That's what I'm talking about. Yes.
I'm undrawing.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
In Eretz Yisrael, it's expanded. Okay. So, anyway, Ela Mishum de Afshe Brachos. Okay. So he says, no, the reason is not because of the psukim, but because you have, you know, Malkiyos, Reina, Shefres, all these things that you have to remember, you know, so that's the reason why then that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Chazan would be moitzing everybody. Okay. Gufa, getting back to the basic idea, Omer Rabbi Chanan, Omer Rav Chanan, Omer Rav, he says, Kevin Shomer, so what's the question of Neymar, Shuvenir Tzorech, okay? So then taking that quotation, he says that the minute you say Sarasa Kosum Amor, you don't have to do anything else. You don't have to cite any psukim, which I don't have to tell you is a complete variance with what we have learned just a few weeks ago, where we discussed the fact that you have to say 10 psukim for Malchios,
right,
10 psukim for Zechrinos, 10 psukim for Shofres, and we said it has to be 3 from the Torah, 3 from the Kitzvi HaKodesh, and 3 from the Nevi'im, and then we always conclude with a passing from the Torah, and so on, so that's how we make up the 10. And we even had a whole discussion as to what psukim were appropriate, what psukim were not appropriate to be said, and so on. So, and here he comes with an opinion. He says, all you have to do is the same as Hotel Kosev Leva. That's all.
This is Rav Chanan.
This is Rav Chanan, right, in the name of Rav. So, Sovu Mino, Hani Mili Biyochin. So he says, okay, so maybe this is what a yochid, only a person is praying by himself, he doesn't know all the psukim and so on, so it's enough to go by. Avol b'tzibur lo itmar. However, this does not apply to when we're davening with a congregation where what do we have to do? Congregation has to have the entire prayer, not just an abbreviated version. Okay. Kevin Shom, obviously, what's the cause of Lamor? Yeah. Shuvin et Zorach. That does not apply. Excuse me, I skipped a line up here. So Itmor, however, we have a contrary teaching. Omer Rav Yeshua ben Levi, the Rav Yeshua ben Levi says, his father says, Echad Yochid, Echad Tzibon, makes no difference with individual, congregation. Kevin Shoma, Vesachos, 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 minute that he says, Vesachos, Vesachos, he doesn't have to add anything more. He doesn't have to add specifically Psukim. Omer Rav Yeliezer, Rav Yeliezer said, Yoylam Yastir, Onam Tfilosev, Yachakach, Yispalim. He says, you know, before you go into Davin, you should always think or arrange the ideas in your own mind before you daven. In other words, think who are you davening to and what are you going to say to the Ben Yishalim when you daven and so on. This is a proper procedure, he says. And of course, this is in line with what we learned about, you know, the Chassidim Rishonim, you know, that they would wait an hour in meditation before they actually began davening and so on. Omar Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba said, "Mistama milsid Rabbi Lozor." He says, "Bebrachos shel Rosh Hashanah yom kippur shel parakim." He says, "Yeah, it makes sense to me that you know you say arrange the ideas in your own mind what you're going to have to say when it comes to the special blessings that we have to recite to Rosh Hashanah yom kippur, and also what does he mean by parakim? By parakim over here it means those prayers that we recite only on special occasions." As for example, let's say the Titus Tzibur, right, on the fast day, that you have to say, oh, no, okay, so you have to bear in mind what are the words, when do we say it, and so on and so forth. Avol dechol hashana, lo. But you don't have to put in all this mental preparation for the prayers that we recite all the time. So they say, Eini? Yeah, is this so? V'hoh, Rav Yehuda, besadeh, tzulusei, umatzna. But we have the example of Rav Yehuda, who always insisted upon preparing his prayers beforehand, before he actually recited. So they say, Shani Rav Yehuda. All right, Rav Yehuda is a little different. He says, Kevon. Okay. So inasmuch as he davened every 30 days, apparently he had discussed it, and so he says, it was similar then as if it were davening on the special occasion. So that's why he had to do it.
Why is the only problem? What, every 30 days?
Every 30 days, I don't know. The rest of the time, they had somebody else daven.
Only for Rosh Hashanah?
Yeah, it's a Shliach Tzibur, right. It doesn't mean it's an individual, but it's a Shliach Tzibur, right.
Well, that's not very explicit.
Right.
That is a really good custom.
Yeah. Once in 30 days, you don't want to be Matriach or Kodesh Baruch. You don't want to bother him too much, right? Amar Rav Acha Bar Avira, Rav Acha the son of Avira said, Amar Rav Shimon, Chassidim, the name of Rav Shimon the Chosid, he says, Poiter Hoya Rav Gamliel Fil Am Sheva Sodes. He says that when Rav Gamliel's opinion, you know, that the Shaliach Tzibur enables both the Baki and the not Baki, you know, to fulfill their obligation of prayers. He says, Baki means, you know, the person who knows how to daven, in this case, okay? It means various things, but here they're using Baki in the sense, you know how to daven, okay? Baki.
Baki.
Baki. Right, yeah. So, it says, but he applies it even to the Am Shabbat Sodois, which means people who are out in the fields, even. In other words, they're not in the shul, but they're someplace at a distance from the shul. That what he's implying is that when the Chazan davens, he's also having them in mind when he davens, even though they're not present in the shul. The Lomi Bayi, but he says,
is this supposed to be on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur?
Yes. Yeah, obviously.
They're in the
fields. They're in the fields. Don't ask me what they're doing. They're not allowed to do any work over there in the fields. But it means that they're not in shul.
Okay.
Maybe they live at a distance and they can't walk to the shul. It's too far for them.
Possible. Yeah.
So I would have to take it in that sense.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And it, you don't have to even ask questions concerning people who are present in the shul that he's voicing. So, there's a difference of opinion. Adraba, they say. No, on the contrary, he says. Hani anisi, hani lo anisi. He says, look, those people who cannot come to shul because they're far away in the fields and so on, all right, they are, you know, they can't do it, and so therefore the chazan has in mind to enable them to fulfill their obligation. But ani lo anisi, those people who are present in the shul, they are not forced. Their job is actually to daven. In other words, everybody should daven. Ditani Abba Breid of Rabbi Yomin Bar Chia, as Abba the son of Rabbi Yomin, the son of Chia, said, Am Sha'achareya Kohanim Einon Bichlal Bracha. We learned this in Sota. You remember towards the end of Sota, we were talking about the Birkas Kohanim, when the Kohanim go up to Duchen, and we had a whole series of halachas involving the fact, you know, how did they say, what do we respond, and so on and so forth, how high do they have to raise their hands, and so on and so forth, right? One of the things that we learned over there was that if the Kohanim, where do the Kohanim have to stand when they rise? The answer is that they have to stand in front of the congregation. Why? Because that way everybody whom they are facing is included in the bracha that they're giving. But what about people if they would be behind them? So there we learn in Gemara and Sota, and it says that they do not receive the blessing that the Kohanim are getting. So what is the implication over here? The people in the field, right, they're not there, so why should they get the benefit of being, you know, included in the prayers of the Chazan? Okay?
Quick
question. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But weren't there synagogues where they stayed in the center, there were people all around?
No. The Kohanim do not, for example, let's say you have a shul with a bima in the middle. The bima is there for reading of the Torah primarily, okay? But not for the Kohanim. The Kohanim have to be right at the very front, face the congregation, because that's the only way that we can get the bracha from them, okay? Okay. So, Elo, but, it says, Kiyasa Rabin, when Rabin came, Omer Rabbi Yaakov Rabini, Omer Rabbi Shimon, he said, the name of Rabbi Shimon, he says, Lo pota Rabin Gamliel, Elo Am Shabbat Sotos. He says, you know, Rabin Gamliel, when he said that he is Motzi, it's a complete contradiction to what we've had before. But when you say that he is Motzi, you know who he is Motzi? Ela Am Shabbat Sodos, the people who are out in the fields, in other words, who are not in shul. My Tama, for what reason? Mishum da nisei bimlocha, because they are compelled to be where they are because of the fact that they work in the fields, okay? It doesn't mean that they're working on Rosh Hashanah, as I said, but, you know, they're living over there and they can't go. Aval Be'ir, but if people live in the city, no, no. All right, so what do we learn from all this? We learn from this that, in reality, based upon what we hear, what we have learned over here, for whatever reason it may be, but the Chazoras Hashatz is a very important part of the davening, not to be neglected if we can possibly help, because we get an additional mitzvah by listening to the Chazan. And of course, if we don't know how to daven, then it is a learning experience for us, and it's also an experience which enables us to feel that we have at least tried to recite the prayers through the fact that we are following, listening to the words that the Chazan himself is reciting, okay? So that there is a necessity both for the silent prayer and also for the Chazoras Hashatz. Okay, we have learned, of course, and it's been a very, very fruitful time learning together, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, starting from the very first Mishnah, where we learned that there's not one Rosh Hashanah, but how many?
Four
of them.
Four.
And then we learned each reason why do we have this one, why do we have the one in Tishrei, why do we have in Nisan, why do we have
the one for trees, you know, through Bishvat. Why do we have the Rosh Hashanah for the cattle tithing and so on and so forth? We learned the various reasons for them. We've also followed not only that, but how the Sanhedrin determined when was the beginning of the month, and particularly with its relevance, you know, to Rosh Hashanah and all the various things that were involved, as for example the witnesses, and how the Beis Din would be able to notify the communities as to when Rosh Hashanah was. And then, of course, in the last chapter, we've been particularly learning about the sounds of the shofar, and what do they signify? Is the shvarim, the middle one, is it shvarim, is it trua, is it a sigh, is it a sob? But in reality, it should represent also our own feelings at the time when we hear the shofar and the do tshuva to Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And if we know that we've done not such good things during the year, then of course we should sigh, we should sob, whatever it may be, together with the sounds of the shofar. All right, we now rise while I say the concluding prayers. I begin first by saying Hadron Aloch Maseches Rosh Hashanah. We pray to God that again we'll return and study Maseches Rosh Hashanah. V'hadroch alon, v'aton aloch, Maseches Rosh Hashanah v'atoch alon, lois nashe minoch, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, lois nashe minon. In other words, may we never forget you, and may you not forget us, loy ba'almo hodei, neither in this world, loy ba'almo de'osin, nor in the world to come. Pray to God that the words of the Torah may be sweet in our mouths and also in the mouths of all our children and the people of Israel. May the Kutcher be able to 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 be able ושפחוס ונחמוס עוד אמירום יומו ואימו אמס על ישראל ויעל רבנון ויעל תלמידי הון ויעל כל תלמידי תלמידי הון ויעל כל מנו יוסקים לחייס עוד לביאס ועודי ודי וחס ועשר יהי להון ולכון שלום רבו פינו וחיסה ורחמין כאן נעריכן וזלום דיכי פורקום נקום מגון ושמי ויערו ואימו אמס יהי שלום רב ושמיים חיים טובים עולינו ויעל כל ישראל ואימו אמס עושה שלום עם אמו ויעשה באחלו שלום עולינו ויעל כל ישראל ואימו אמס. Next week, Amir Hashem, we'll begin Masechet Megillah at the regular time.
Don't you, how about people have to say Kaddish regularly?
No, this is special Kaddish.
Oh, okay, well.
Well, if anybody wants to say Kaddish, we don't have a chance, so we'll say Kapitel Tillim, we'll say Kaddish for that. Ach, ich wollte schon sagen, ich habe schon mal gesagt, ach, da war es mit dem Kuchen, ich habe es mal weg, ja, mit Yisgadal, Yisgadal, Shrei Rabo, Yomo, Nima, Kusei, Yom Nima, Kusei, Chayekon, Yimekon, Vechayekon, Yisrael, Magalom, Yisman, Karim, Yiveru,
Yehei, Yehei, Yehei,
Yehei, Yehei, Yehei, Yehei, Yehei, Yehei, Yehei, Yehei, Yehei, Yehei, Yehei, Yisadal, 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 Shrei Rikusha, Yehlam, In Kodechos, Yishivasa, Yishmechos, 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 Yishmechos. Okay, and now to the dining room, where we'll sit down to meet. And the $15 per person check, you can make it out to Kadima or cash, whatever you want to do, and give it to me, and I'll take care of the office of the main service.
Can I borrow this?
Yeah, borrow it.
There's some good articles in here.
Yeah.
There's some very good articles in here. Some good
sense.
Is that good?
Yeah.